Welcome to the Human Experience Podcast, where we have folks of all different walks of life share their trials and tribulations, ideas, cerebral chatter, and experiences. We seek to open minds, shed light, and make our modern world feel a little less lonely, realizing that we are all connected, one human experience at a time. I'm your host, Aisha Billy. I would like to thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy. Hi, Kay.
Hi.
I'm so happy to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, anytime. So for anyone who doesn't know, Kay is a friend of mine here who is a born and raised LA native. So I asked her to be on the show because I want to debunk all the LA bullshit. Are you ready to debunk with me?
Hell yes, I am.
Okay, let's dive right in. Okay. LA is fake as fuck.
It just hurts my soul when I hear that.
God.
It's such a myth. And I, to quote the infamous Mayor Garcetti, which, you know, he didn't do much, but he at least provided this one quote, which I'm going to butcher, but it's fine. He basically always sees LA as, you know, 284 different voices, right? Like, or cultures or mini cities. So there's no one way to really define the city of Los Angeles, let alone the county of Los Angeles. And most people don't even know the difference between the two. So, so it's really sometimes disheartening that people find that LA as a whole is somehow very superficial, very surface and shallow, when it could just be those individual like encounters they've been having and they're surrounding themselves around and maybe have been burned by, and not really finding that adequate community that they can tap into. And I always have full faith that people can tap into the communities they need to be into.
Totally. And I know when I first moved here, you know, you basically met me off the get, and I was anxious because it's scary, you're doing is risky, and you hear a lot of stuff, like a lot of scary myths and all that stuff. And I remember you were like, you're going to attract good people. Like, don't worry about it. You're going to meet them. And I remember also feeling validated because the other side of me, there's an anxious side, right? And then the other side that's been more grounded was like exactly as you said. It actually matters where you associate and what your circle is. I wanted to ask you, can you please tell us the difference between LA County and I think it's LA City County,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. Absolutely. So LA, LA City is made up over 4 million people now. It ducked under 4 million during the pandemic, but I think it's reached back up to 4 million, where the county of Los Angeles actually has 88 cities within its borders, and it's totals to about 10 million people. So that's a lot of people. It's a lot of suburbs, a lot of different enclaves, and a lot of history that seems to get washed away and not really highlighted the way that it could be. So I always have to remind people that, like, it's great when you come out, or if you're fresh here and you find yourself landed in, say, Koreatown or parts of maybe East Hollywood or Hollywood. But just know that that is not the definition. It might be your narrative in Los Angeles, but it's not the definition of what the city or even the county is. And that you will probably spend a lifetime, multiple lifetimes, trying to figure out what that actual definition is, because it's going to be very different for everyone who's here. And I think that's kind of true for most cities, but for some reason, we always forget that for Los Angeles. And I think it has something to do maybe with media exposure, just how everyone grows up with an image of what Los Angeles might be like. And then they come here thinking it should be like that. And then they find out that it's not, or maybe with the people they're hanging around with, it is, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. What is that myth, or not the myth? What do you think it is that people have the expectation that they come here with that you have seen kind of come crumbling down?
The one common expectation that I've seen that just doesn't work is this idea that LA is here to cater to them.
Yes.
And that myth or that perception is very harmful, I think, for the person that experiences that, because LA is not an easy city to live in. I can't say that. I'm not going to say it's easier than New York. I've never lived in New York. The only images I have in New York and San Francisco are lovely or complex, complicated in a sense. But when I feel like when you come here, and especially if it's from a small town or maybe it's even a bigger city that just has a completely different vibe, if you come here and expect a community that's already been here, even established, or even other people that are probably in the same boat as you to be catered to be like, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work for you because you're always going to be like, you're going to be disappointed.
Notice like a theme of entitlement.
Oh, when people for come sure. Here. Absolutely. Whether it be on the professional side, people feeling like, you know, especially on the entertainment, I don't even work in entertainment.
I was about to say that you're not, you're completely outside of entertainment.
Yeah. But I've seen the repercussions of people coming out here thinking, you know, big fish, small pond, coming out here thinking they're very special. And then they realize they're a dime a dozen. And they don't know how to handle that. And I'm not crushing dreams here. I think everyone has a special gift in beautiful like way of expressing that, however that looks, especially in entertainment. But know that the competition is a lot higher than you think it is. And in that, even if outside of the professional realm, I've seen it where that entitlement oozes over into just social interactions. So you see it at bars, you see it, you know, at brunch, you see it, you know, when you're just shopping or whatever, parks, this sense of entitlement. And me and my friends always wonder, and I'm grateful. I have childhood friends that I've known for over 20 years that we still talk and we're still very close, but we are quick to put someone on blast saying like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't know who you've been hanging out with here in LA, but not all of us are like that, and don't even paint that picture like that. Like, there are some really amazing, grounded people who care about the communities, who invest in their communities, and are very outspoken and about their communities. So, go ahead. Sorry.
No, two major things came to mind. Mm-hmm. One, I actually got to work the Grammy pre-party last week, and that was my first time stepping into like the big fucking tank, the music tank.
Yes.
And you know, there were definitely some really, really kind people, but there was a lot of people trying to act cool. I've never seen it so potently until the music circle. Mm. It's like, you know, wearing sunglasses in the club and like,
don't
talk to me, or like, can't smile while they're ordering a drink. And obviously, I'm not saying smile like that. Yeah. You know, I grew up being told constantly to smile. I don't mean it like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it just a complete straight face, like not willing to connect. Like, and that was eye-opening to me because, oh my God, I'll tell you something. I haven't shared this with a lot of people. Do you know Kat Jonata?
No, what's that?
He's a musician. Oh, he is actually huge.
Like, what's that?
I know. Love he's that. A human. He's really big in music, but I feel like he's a little bit more niche. He's not as pop, but he's amazing. Like phenomenal. Like he's collabed with The Weeknd. Like he's
dope.
So he actually came up to me and asked for a drink. He is someone established within the industry who has the accolades in his realm of music, very much regarded highly. He came up to me. So smiley, calm. I actually told him that I went to see him a few years ago, and we had like this crazy fire festival situation happen. He got on stage, like we literally saw him. It was a festival, full day packed. The only reason I bought the ticket was for him. And the moment he got on stage, we had to completely evacuate Randall's Island, which is an island between the Upper East Side and Queens, because this crazy amount of rain came in. Was on the phone with his manager. Like, this was before the rain started, of course. He was like, I'm going to try to play for you guys, but he couldn't. So I was super bummed. Like, and I had went to that festival alone because my friend wasn't in New York that summer. I wasn't going to go at all, but I was like, fuck it, I'll go alone. I'll see Catriona.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. I got blessed with like having a face-to-face interaction with him. And I told him, I was like, do you remember the governor's ball a few years ago when we had that insane storm? Mm-hmm. He did not rush the conversation. He would, and you know what? Maybe you could say that it's like the people who haven't made it yet are the ones more with the chip on their shoulder. I just really didn't get that energy from him. So anyway, I'm standing there, I'm working. I get two people, right? I get folks who are like him and then folks who are like, sunglasses on, don't talk to me. And I look at that other group and I'm just like, aren't you miserable? You don't connect with anyone.
So what I've known is with those type of personalities, whether it be in entertainment, finance, tech, whatever, right, is that it is a loss on their end that they choose not to connect. And I'm not saying you have to talk to everyone. Not everyone's an extrovert, right? Not everyone can just proactively go and speak. But to even not even be willing to have really a connection or anything, or maybe you're having a bad day. Okay, whatevs. But like, I've seen it so often though, where I'm like, are you always having a bad day? You know what I mean? Like, okay. And I'm nowhere near an extrovert at all. I'm actually super introverted, but I've learned to always sort of be open, for the most part, to having connections with strangers I've never met in Los Angeles and trying to figure out their stories. Wow. And always asking, like, where are you from? What brought you out here? And if they're not from Los Angeles, right? And then asking them simply, how has Los Angeles been treating you? As in, like, that really forces them to admit or to like really talk about their interactions that they've had in Los Angeles, and getting to the grounds of that, like getting to the foundation of, oh, why did you have that experience? Or, oh, where do you normally go? Oh, maybe you should try this. I'm all for, you know, giving resources, or like, oh, you like this? You should try going here. Like, I'm always telling people, you only have hiked at Runyon. That's it. That's the only exposure you have, where there's over like 150 miles of trails through the Santa Monica Mountains. Okay.
Alone.
Well, yeah. Here's 10 trails I think you should check out. And here's the times you should probably check them out so you can see a bomb ass like sunset, you know? Like, so I think a lot could be had if people just cracked open just a little bit to take down that facade of who they think they should be while they're out here, so we don't get all of these posts from Overheard LA, you know, where it
I was
going to
bring
like...
that up. You bought that up, though.
I can't help it.
I was going to bring that shit up.
I can't help it at all. It's just infuriating sometimes to read
this
post.
It's so funny because, like, the second to last time you came over, you commented on a post and it went kind of like it caught fire. And I think you were telling me that the last girl in that video reel was saying something. I don't remember, but it was like fucking ridiculous. And she's actually from New York.
I don't remember that? No, let me do the research. Like, I'm sure I can pull it up because I don't comment on much when I'm on Instagram. So it probably wouldn't be hard to keep or to look for. So give me a second.
But I need to know what she said.
But yeah, it's just sometimes. Oh, yeah, I commented. Well, at least for this one, Overheard Gentrified LA. I think. What was it? It was, I'm going to go ahead and read it in a second. I do agree with this one. There should be a word in that moment when you see someone in Los Angeles and you're not sure if you met them drunk, work with them, or recognize them from a minor TV show. That actually did happen to me at Mom's Bar in Venice, where I looked at this girl And I was like, dang, I was with my aunt. So I party with my aunt. It's fine. And we went to mom's bar. This is years ago. And we kept looking at this one. She was so pretty. She was blonde. We're like, we know that girl. Like, where is she from? And then finally we're like, oh my God, why do I want to call her Freya? She plays like Freya on the originals. And her name is like Riley, like Volkel or something like that. And we went up to her. We're like, oh my God, we think we know you. And then she was like, do you watch the originals? And we're like, shit, yes. Oh my God. And she was so sweet. She gave her a hug and drinked and party and it was fine. But that does happen. But I can't find the post that I was talking about where
who
I was
at like, Venice, this
gentrified LA. But like, I don't know if they took it down or not. But it is sort of weird that I feel like Overheard LA really does focus on gentrified LA. So I'm thinking, you know, you might get something in Eagle Rock, even though Eagle Rock was gentrified too back in the day. But you might get, you know, it's mostly like what? Echo Park, Silver Lake, Hollywood, West Hollywood, Venice, the entire West Side, Santa Monica, whatever. And I love that I saw a challenge the other day right before I unfollowed them, where someone said, you know what? I would love for y'all to do, like, just go south of the 10. Go south of the 10.
Yeah.
Have y'all gone south of the 10? Maybe to Long Beach, but not Long Beach. Long Beach is dope, though. I'm not, like, busting on Long Beach. They're dope. I fucking love Long Beach.
Yeah, so do I. It's amazing.
But, like, it's weird that the things that are highlighted are probably real experiences. I know people are like, that's fake. And I'm like, no, I probably do believe it's real. But it's, like, it's not the only thing that's out there. And it would be interesting to be able to hear some of the Overheard and, like, East LA, San Gabriel,
100%,
right?
100%.
Compton, like there are areas that I would love to be able to hear some shit. And it would be funny. It would be heartwarming. It would be whatever, you know? So I'm hoping somebody takes that idea and runs with it, you know?
You heard it here, y'all.
Take that idea.
And fucking run with that.
Be opposite of Overheard LA for a second and just go to the hoods and overhear some shit in the hood. But don't get, you know, don't get weird about it.
even my experience, I've met so many fucking natives here. And I remember when I first moved here, Desiree was like, but she's a native too. So in my mind, I'm like, to her, she probably feels that there are transplants extra more than a transplant would because she's actually from here. Mm-hmm. But I remember she was like, you know, there's a lot of transplants, not a lot of natives. And I was like, dude, I don't know if I'm having a charmed experience or I know where to look, but for every five transplants I've met 2 to 3 natives. Like,
that's great.
It's been fucking amazing. Yeah. So, you know, I get a lot of like grounded energy from them, obviously. And I naturally, this is something I struggled with so much when I first got here, especially because I went to an acting school in Hollywood for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. I never experienced people trying to act so cool. And that was something that I didn't do ever. Like, that's not a part of my, like, that gives me the heebie-jeebies. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But obviously that exists in New York. And the thing that I was going to tell you too, transplants in New York kind of go through the same experience where they come thinking they're going to make it on Broadway. Mm-hmm. They come from that small pond, big fish. Mm-hmm. They were that really special person in the Carolinas or like, sorry to say, you know what I mean? Like down around those areas with smaller cities, they come in and that's not the case. So that was one thing. And the other thing was the New Yorker stereotypes that were all like mean. Like, New Yorkers are so hands-on helpful. We have terrible ego, New York pride is real as fuck. And I think that's why we're so helpful, because we know none of us really want to ask for help. So we just shove it in each other's faces. And a lot of New Yorkers, I think, when they come here, they realize that saying, New York is not nice, but it's kind because it's more helpful. And then they say the West Coast is nice, but not kind because it's less helpful. Mm. And I had a friend DM me this several months ago. And she's like, what do you think about this? And I was like, New York has such sickening ego when it comes to asking for help. And I know there's a lot of New Yorkers who listen to this, like, no shade. Like, it's something that obviously not all of us have, but it's a fucking common theme. Where here, I feel like the culture around help is different. If there's an obvious common sense help needed, it's given without asking. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, like, you typically would be like, hey, pal, can you help me out with this? And they'd be like, oh, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. It's just a less pride energy here. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. And it kind of, like, tying it back to LA and the perception here is that everything feels transactional. So if I do help you, what I'm learning is that, and this is not on the those who are born and raised here. I'm not really seeing that much. I guess it depends on the industry that you might work in or like that you frequent in. But what I've learned is that when people kind of complain about the, you know, relationships that they try to develop here feel too transactional, I actually don't relate, because it doesn't feel that way with the relationships I've built here, whether it's with someone else who was also born and raised here, or even with, you know, those who have moved here and are considered transplants, and I just formed a friendship with them. I never see my friendships as transactional. We help each other as we need to. And if we can't help each other, we're honest about it. Like, actually, I can't help you with this, and I'm so sorry, you know? So the weird thing about it being like this kind of impersonal transactional, like how far can you get me for what I want sort of thing, I don't relate to it. And I feel bad for anyone who does, because I would hate for Los Angeles to be defined by that.
Yeah.
Defined by whoever those people are. And again, the folks I think that people like I've definitely met some people who are like, LA is trash and it's full of fake people. And I'm like, again, I'm asked, like, who are you meeting? Who are you around? Is it a socioeconomic thing? Am I just not hanging out with like millionaires? I don't know. And that's not to say millionaires are trash. I'm just saying like, like, I'm trying to figure out what culture is it exactly that they're hanging out with, where everything seems impersonal and transactional.
So have you noticed a trend with where those folks live? Is there a specific-ish area?
Well, the complaints are mostly coming out of gentrified areas. So again, the Silver Lake, Echo Park area, or maybe areas that where people party the most, like in WeHo, parts of Hollywood, of course. Like, I don't hear that shit south of the 10. Like, that's not... it's so, you know, more family and just like people just living their normal lives, like in those areas.
I feel it too when I drive down there.
And even in like the Valley, it's not, but no one's going to be talking like that in Lakeview Terrace or in Sylmar. You know what I mean? Like, or a suburb like Santa Clarita. I will say one thing though. I thought it was funny, and I got in an argument with someone on I forgot what it was, but it was this myth that somehow the Valley is not considered the city of Los Angeles. And I'm reminded that back in the 90s, and I can get the specs for this, I feel like, later, but generally speaking, I grew up in the Valley. So you could probably hear that little bit of Valley twang in my voice. That's where it comes from. I grew up in the Valley, and I grew up in different cities within the Valley, or different like neighborhoods within the Valley. The Valley is just a wild place because it's over 1 million people. A lot of like tax revenue comes from the Valley. So back in the 90s, they were trying to separate from the city of Los Angeles to make themselves their own incorporated city, kind of like Glendale or Santa Monica or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the city fought hard for that not to happen. I think they wanted to call it like Camelot. That's what I remember. And I was like, even as a kid, I was like, that's a stupid name. I hope we don't separate. and I look back on that and I've encountered people who grew up like, I guess, quote unquote, city proper. So they grew up in South Central. They grew up in parts of like what is now known as South LA, West Adams, whatever. Right. And they still consider people in that suburb not a part of Los Angeles. They're like, you're not LA. And I'm like, the zip code says otherwise. Like, and my taxes say otherwise. Like, we are back. Like, the Valley is just as LA as South LA and as
so does as West LA Island City County encompass the Valley.
Yes, so at like the Valley minus Glendale and Burbank, the rest of the Valley is within the city of Los Angeles.
Okay, and then LA County. Can you tell
it's
us about
everything? It's the whole umbrella, all 88 cities. So LA County goes all the way up to Palmdale and all the way down to Long Beach and all the way east to the 57, like Diamond, like that Diamond Bar area, like all the way
so
east.
For the record, that it's would huge. Take hours, like to drive up and down.
Oh, hell
what,
yeah.
3 hours?
I have coworkers that live in Lancaster and Palmdale, and it takes them, you know, almost 2 hours to get to work in downtown. And I'm like,
no.
Not worth it. I don't
no,
care.
Definitely. No. Definitely not. That's definitely some like older generation yeah. bullshit to us. No. Now we would fucking never.
You couldn't pay me enough to even now we complain that we can't buy a house or afford one. If I could afford one, say in Palmdale and Lancaster, and maybe at this level I could, you still couldn't pay me enough to be on the road for, you know, 3-4 hours of my life every day just so I could own mm-hmm. that home. So mm-hmm. that comes with another, you know, some other structural stuff that we could probably talk about later. But yeah,
yes.
It's just, yeah, it's wild.
I know. This is like a conversation for another time, but I remember you had a lot of interesting things to say about land and ownership and all that stuff. That is like completely separate topic, but I just remembered that was a very in-depth conversation we had a while back. But yeah, it's not worth it to do 2 to 3 hours of driving just to own a home. It's not worth it to me.
To me either. And I do view that as a personal choice. I'm not going to knock someone else who thinks it is worth it, though I think their life might have a little more balance if they didn't have to do that. But it is also kind of sad that no one can even live close to where they work. Like, it's just, so right now, I'm not going to reveal where I work right now, but we're having some recruiting hardships right now because we're simply just not paying enough for people to live around the area. And some people are making up their minds like us. We're like, I'm not going to drive that distance, you know? So, and my office is in downtown. So they were like, well, what can we do? And I was like, how about you telework? How about you actually give the option of telework? This is admin shit. We don't have to go in. And they're like, nah, we're not gonna do it. We're so old school, you know? And I'm like, well, you're gonna have these vacancies forever because ain't nobody trying to come in here.
And the parking around that area.
Parking is terrible. I was just thinking today, actually, when I was walking around Grand Park today, and I was thinking about how parking is super elitist and how like it's so weird that you see these parking signs that, you know, for safety reasons, we can't park in some area, or maybe for street cleaning, we can't park in one area. But then we all have all these other signs that said, oh, you can park here, but you got to pay, and you got to pay $2 an hour. And I'm like, what would happen if we just got rid of that? Like, what would happen? Like, how much revenue would the city lose? Probably not much. Not anything that we would see, you know? And it was just one of those things where I was like, damn, you can't even be in your own neighborhood if you lived in like Chinatown and be able to really find parking around where you would want to go to a grocery store or just like down the street to the park, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like $2 an hour. It's bullshit, you know?
That's why the Valley kind of fucking rules. Because
yes.
I feel like parking is comfortable. I don't struggle
yeah.
with traffic.
Yeah.
So the traffic down there, South LA, or like southerner of where we're at here, is really bad, right?
So we notice, so growing up in this traffic, like I had to learn the freeways growing up, and I'll never forget my dad saying, just, you know, get a full tank of gas and just go and just figure it out. And I was like, these freeways are scary. My mom used to call the 110 Hell's Gate, or like the demon freeway, basically. She hated that freeway when she had to commute on it. But what I noticed growing up is that traffic obviously wasn't nearly as bad as it is now, but obviously population's gone up too. But also because people, we thought if, you know, folks are actually moving back into quote unquote the city, that maybe traffic will alleviate because they're not traveling from the suburbs, you know, like from the outskirts. But that's not what's happening. Like me and my friend the other day were talking about how we can never get on the 101 South without it being fucking packed. It's not a thing. Even at like 11 o'clock at night, or like it's just always packed. And we're like, who are these people and where are they going? You know? So but you know, growing up, I think it depends on the area that, I don't know, Granada Hills off the 118, they might say, well, fuck it. It takes me 30 minutes to get on the 118 from Tampa or from, you know, Topanga or whatever, you know? So I feel like traffic is just, it's another reason why we really need to invest in, you know, public transit to expand. We're 40 years behind, or estimated 40 years behind underground.
So from what I know, we don't have underground travel because of earthquakes.
Yes and no. To my knowledge, we don't have underground travel or more public transportation options because of car lobbyists, you know, back in the day, really taking away those options and not building on it the way they could have. And that, again, that goes into more redlining stuff, which, again, we can talk about later. But those options, we had the electric cart rails and stuff that were above ground, right, that you just kind of hop on and go. And then they got rid of them. And then, you know, they displaced people to create more and more freeways. And they're constantly expanding our freeways. And it doesn't really alleviate traffic as much as they think it does. And they make, you know, the expansion on the 5 from LA to Orange County took all of, shit, how long that expansion take? I think it was like 5 or 6 years, maybe 10. And the 5 still sucks. You still try to go to Disneyland. You're like, shit, Disneyland's far. It's not that far. It's only like 36 miles from Hollywood. But like, it's still far. It still feels far because everyone's on a damn 5. So it upsets me because, you know, agencies like the Metro has to scramble for the money to be able to build these things and all this red tape to actually build the way they want to. And you're right, they do have to retrofit for earthquakes. We haven't had a major earthquake since Northridge, but, you know,
which was
in
94.
Remember, I definitely remember that one. I remember eating cold
Pop-Tarts. How was that?
It was scary. I was one of those situations where I lived with my mom in Panorama City, and she was working at a county hospital, and the county hospital got damaged like during an earthquake. So she couldn't actually come home for 3 days because she was helping people who were injured and stuff in the county hospital. So I had to stay home alone with these fucking aftershocks and eating, you know, cold Pop-Tarts because we didn't have, we didn't have electricity for a while, and I had to eat cold Pop-Tarts and stuff. And remembering an incident where a TV almost fell on me because I was sleeping under a TV like an idiot. I had a thing where I would like sleep on the floor in my mom's room because I would miss my mom. And then thankfully I woke up at the right time, saw this TV swaying and moved my legs, and it fell. So, so I remember, just being in the living room of that condo that we were in, not the living room, actually, we were in the hallway for a good like day or two. And then finally I'm thankful my family's here. So we were all able to gather in my grandparents' house and just kind of like help each other out as we're trying to figure out what to do. So I remember not being in school for a while, a week or something like that until we went back to school.
Okay. So how long did that earthquake last?
God, it felt like forever. It 30 seconds? I don't remember exactly how long it was, but holy shit, it felt like forever. And mind you,
this is a tangent, but do you know how long the earthquake was in Turkey?
I heard it was 90 seconds.
It was like close to 2 minutes.
What?
At 7-8.
Holy shit. I could not imagine the terror going through everyone's heart. And every time, and I when that news broke, I was actually on Twitter like right when it happened. And I was up late and I was like, oh shit, this isn't good. And of course, with technology, we're seeing all the video that's coming out right away. And my heart just sunk, and I just really felt for knowing that it was, you know, centered in that city in Turkey, and then it was felt reverberated in all the other countries. I was like, holy shit, that's a strong
aftershock. And you know, the aftershock was like a 7.5. It was basically a second earthquake. So they got two in the middle of the night. I mean, you probably super empathize because you've been through that.
Yeah. And anyone who
and it's winter there.
Oh yeah,
right now.
So I mean, it's like, you know, I remember Northridge happening the weekend of, or that Monday. It was MLK Day. I do remember that. So it was January, but you know, it's not our winter is not their winter. So I can totally just, my heart breaks over that. And I'm hoping they, you know, receive the relief that's necessary. I know that we were talking earlier about, you know, some bullshit that was going down with, you know, the normal folks not getting the relief that they should.
Yeah. Story as old as time.
I know.
So it really is. I want to ask, when that happened in 94, was the city obviously not destroyed, but how destroyed was it on a scale? I feel
like, you know, we were shaken up. I wouldn't be able to give you like specifics on that because I was.
Were buildings pancaking?
I feel like buildings were definitely damaged. And then we had that one freeway. I forgot. To this day, I don't remember which freeway it was that like cracked and like depleted down. But mind you, how old would I was eight. I was eight when that happened. So my perception of it was very like my own circle, my own world. And I'm sure anyone that you talk to that grew up in LA, they're going to have their own story about Northridge. I have a clear story about what happened during, you know, the uprising, the 92 uprising, seeing the riots and stuff. And I have a personal connection to that too, but like, but yeah, like that's the beauty also about people who do come or are from Los Angeles and that we like to share with those who are coming here. Like there is a lot of personal history that connects to the macro history. So people are going to have their Northridge, you know, story, and people are going to have their 92 uprising stories. People are going to remember the riots, you know, like I specifically remember living right next to a swap meet and seeing people loot, you know, from the swap meet, and my mom telling me at work, telling me to stay my ass inside and lock the doors. But I also knew too, on a social level, being a Black woman, what the riot or what the uprising meant, knowing the injustice behind it, even as like at that time, I think that I was seven, because it was in 92. I was seven. I knew at 7 years old the bullshit that happened behind like Rodney King. And then it wasn't until much later, like just a couple of years ago, that my aunt told me that she was personally connected to the guy who filmed it. She told me the whole backstory of what happened to that guy.
Holy shit.
So like, yeah, so it's just kind of like, it's wild to think about how you watch things. You're literally just watching living history and you see documentaries on it and to see it in different perspectives, right?
So why do you feel like LA doesn't have the level of buzz that New York does? Like, I feel like New York has that, like New York, you know what I mean? And I just the structure alone could be the reason for that. And, you know, I don't want to make this whole comparison about cities thing, but there's so much history here. There's a lot of rich history here. I wonder why it's not regarded.
I think there's two things that I can think of off the top of my head. And I'll probably think of others as we're talking. But one thing, like I've only been to New York once in my life, and unfortunately it was pre-9/11. So I've always wanted to experience New York as an adult. I know that Desiree just experienced New York and she, you know, my eyes were open, loved it. Yeah. She says the best vibe. And that makes me feel good. And I've never had a reason to have animosity towards New York. Like everything that I've read about it or talked to people who are from there, it's been like complex and like deep and amazing, you know? And it does make me want to experience it. And that says a lot because media and our entertainment can have a very different perspective on New York about, you know, like, yes, it's super easy to live in a brownstone. I'm like, is it? like, I don't think it is economically.
No.
But I think the two connections are history has, or New York definitely has a deeper history simply because of how old it is. Like its connection to U.S. history and all of the things that have, like, it's seen so much more than L.A. L.A. was established in 1850, even though there was an indigenous community here before that. And, you know, a lot of colonization after that. But as far as New York goes, there's a lot of deep rooted history that we learn about in our own history books. You know what I mean? Where I don't think we take the time. So that goes into the second part. We don't really take the time to really dive into LA history. Like, for example, just people going downtown. I wonder how many people really dive into the history of the buildings downtown. Like knowing, like, you know, Hall of Justice was built in 1924, but before it was even built, there was a police shootout, you know, in front of Hall of Justice, like where it stands. And then right across the street is a federal building where they used to actually, this is like deep, deep, dark history of LA, but like where they used to sell indigenous bodies, you know what I mean? For labor. And so the running like narrative of that is that that building's actually fucking haunted. It's fucking cursed because of the injustice that happened there. And just like knowing like how, you know, City Hall was the tallest building for so long until it wasn't, you know, and no building was allowed to go over that for a long time until they changed the ordinance back in the 60s. So there's a lot of history there that I think people just don't take the time to tap into. And when I say people, I don't mean people who are doing documentaries or doing like certain things like that. I mean, just normal people. And I think that, again, that comes back with investment. If you talk to someone in LA, I like to ask people, like, do you know who you're, like, do you know who your congresswoman is? Do you know who your city hall, or do you know who your city council member is? Do you know who your assembly person is? These are people that you have to know if you want, if you're looking at current events that's around you and you want to understand why it's happening, you have to know who these people are. You have to know who's representing you. And not just when election season comes up. No, you need to know what they're doing throughout their career. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the investment is sort of lacking in a sense. But I have hope. I have hope that, you know, maybe we can kind of get past that in a sense. Also, I say this when we're talking about land or, earlier, we don't like to preserve things either. Like a developer is quick to demolish, you know, a building that was built in the 1800s. And that's why it's so rare to see the Victorians that used to be on Bunker Hill. And like, now you'll see the Victorians over in Angelino Heights, right in Echo Park, right, where the Thriller House is. My boyfriend's actually fortunate enough to live over there, and I can't believe that still. But it's a beautiful neighborhood. It's expensive as hell, but it's a beautiful neighborhood. And those buildings have a lot of history. And but if we just took the time to just kind of dig into it, we can find the resources to do it. And it's just fun to know. It makes you feel more connected to the city.
That's exactly it right there. It helps you connect deeper to the city.
Absolutely.
Like even when I saw that like LA County fire department deployed like 82 firemen to go help relief for the earthquake victims, that helped me feel connected to the city. Just because I was like, oh, I know this sounds silly, but I just was like, I didn't know this happened here, even though no shit, you know, like it's still this states and stuff, but it was so heartwarming to me, and I wouldn't have realized that if I didn't really keep up with like local news, you know what I mean, like exactly as you just said. And it's what you also said about investment. I've noticed, and this is like a universal thing I see among humans, we want the most with putting in the least.
Amen. I mean, as in like you're preaching
like everything, even when it comes to weight. Like for example, like I used to work in the fitness industry, so I can really speak to this when it comes to fat loss, which like is a loaded topic.
We rather have a pill than a push-up.
That's it. So listen, like there are so many different cases. Like if you're morbidly obese, I totally understand. Like
or you just don't have the physical capability of doing it. But
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But my point is, there's no way you can't say that people would generally want to have a pill over a push-up, because you see it in the industry. There's always these like magic products, like, and then these like crazy weight loss, like 6 pounds in a week. You know what the recommended sustained weight loss like should be per week if you want to actually keep it off?
Pound or two or something like that?
So it's 0.5. 0.5. Two is the max.
Okay.
So it's between 0.5 and two. Even two
is like pushing it.
It's kind of pushing it. If you're somebody who is quite overweight, two is a little bit more understandable because, you know, it's more, there's more to lose. But for the average person between 0.5 and 2, yet we're pushing these pills, we're pushing these magic products, you could lose 30 pounds in 30 days. So anyway, that was a huge tangent. But it's this constant trying to escape investing that time to read or time to go to like what you call black yoga, aka Walk Good.
Hey, yep. Like, all ETN's of these doing community... great job with I call it, yeah, you're right, I call it black yoga, but ETN ETN's doing a great job with Walk Good. It's one of, you know, my favorite things to go to, and I feel like it's such an amazing blessing to the community. So yeah,
absolutely. And like, that's my point. It's, there's stuff out there in the community. And if, and I'm speaking myself when I say this, if you chose to uproot and come to a new city, you better be ready to fucking work to rebuild that life.
I agree.
It's like, especially if you don't know people, like if you have family, you're in a different boat, no shade. Even if you come with a partner, still similar, both still different. If you come alone, like I did, and so many people do, most of it's rare that couples who came out here together, they typically, it's always a soloist. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be willing to give it time. Mm-hmm. Connections take time to deepen.
It does.
They really fucking do. And you have to be willing to put in that time to invest. Who is the congressperson? Who is your mayor? When are the elections? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, et cetera. So,
I realized my best way to really stay connected. I mean, the nature of my job allows me to stay connected because I work for a public agency. But outside of that, it was like something as simple as doing Google Alerts, you know? So I just do Google Alerts for LA City, like Los Angeles City. I do Google Alerts for LA County. I'll do Google Alerts for, because I've been studying for the last couple of years, I've been studying the history of law enforcement in general. So obviously I want to keep up with, you know, some of the corruption and shit that goes down in these departments. So I'll have Google Alerts for like LAPD or for LASD or something.
Wow.
Just so I can see what's going on. And I think sometimes it just takes something as simple as using your technology to really realize like, oh, this is going on in the city. I think I'll actually like to do that. Let me go to this event this week and see if I can plug in. Or following really great people online who are connected to, you know, the city. Like, there's even people like, I'm thinking when he was here, like Kendrick Sampson and like Matt McGorry. There's like celebrities even that like have gotten involved in their city, have gotten involved with movements here, and they provide like insight on the stuff that's happening. And I think that's very
important. Kendrick Lamar is like a huge person on that too.
Yeah. He is. I've seen him at many a, you know, protest and lending that voice and spreading the word, you know, and he has his own, you know, organizations and stuff. But it's one of those things where if you're only following people who are only doing influencing, trying to just sell you shit through an ad, or if you're only following people who only party, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but that if that's all you're following, then you're not going to get a very clear picture of what is happening in the city or county, or even your own community. And I think the best thing you can really do are follow some, you know, some public services, maybe some people that you would start to admire, read some books on the city. I'm reading, I can't remember the name right now. So if, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm so tired right now, but,
no, don't worry.
But yeah, I just, I'm learning to always just dive in. There's always something new you can learn, and no one truly ever knows the city. There was an incident that happened a couple of years ago where we knew some folks who, moved out here. And after a year or so, like one of them popped off and said like, LA is so meh. And they just went off about how like, I'll never forget. They wrote this piece or some part of it that said, LA, you know, people who grew up in LA have no merit or no value because they've never had to shovel snow growing up. And I was just kind of like, okay, I don't know what me shoveling snow means for building character, but you know, everyone has a different experience, and I invest in this community. And it was one of those things where, you know, I don't really talk to those people.
Also,
anymore,
we have earthquakes, motherfuckers.
Yeah, I was like, oh, we had earthquakes, we have fires.
Yeah,
there's no such thing as fire season anymore. It's all year round, but it's in. And we had El Nino. We haven't had El Nino in a while. But but it's one of those things where I was like, why does me shoveling snow actually build merit for my character and how I invest in my community? And mind you, this is a person that's only lived in one neighborhood, was probably upset that things were not catering to them and not working out in their best interest. Yep. And then, you know, they realized they had to work twice as hard to get what they really wanted. And to this day, no shade to them. I hope they're living a really good life. I hope that LA actually worked out for them. But at the end of the day, that stuck with me. That was just like, why do I need to somehow experience something from like a small town in order to know what life is? That's to say that LA is so vapid that we don't know how to live life here. And I'm like, not everyone just goes to brunch and goes hiking and spends $8 on like a, you know, macchiato or some shit, or, you know, like that's not,
I do literally none of what anything you just said. And I'm a transplant. Anytime I see it's $8 or I never come back. What was the other thing? I went to brunch once in my whole life that was here for a drag brunch. Like, it's just, yeah, I think it's exactly as you said, people's expectations not being met. They don't have realistic ones. And there is a lot of entitlement for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I feel like if you are, you know, pretty open to what can be, like, for the things that can actually be offered. But like you said earlier, like, you do need to actually do the work, though. Like, you need to,
yeah,
to be able to dive in and be like, okay, there's a community over here. Like, there are so many organizations that I follow on Instagram, and I'll probably want to provide this to you later if you don't mind, like, including it in the towards the end of it. But so many organizations that do great stuff in the community and have like these resources available, anything from yoga to dance classes to, you know, like all these different things, and people don't even know about it. So it would be
great. Can definitely put those in the show notes. Yeah. So we'll put those in the show notes.
Great.
Kay, thank you so much for sharing your experience as a born and bred LA native. It's really valuable information, and I want you to know that. So thank you so much
for taking
the time. And I will definitely share this with any of my friends coming new into the city. And this would kind of be like a cute little manual for them.
Yeah. And I'm part of a group on Facebook that is a Black networking group where Black people who are moving to Los Angeles are trying to find housing and stuff. But it's good to try to make those connections maybe before coming out to LA if you can. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I feel like, that's if social media is for anything, it's for that. You know what I mean? If you're going to make a huge change, try to find those networks before you come. And then by the time you get here, you'll at least have some threads to hang on to until you
absolutely
actually can, you know, put your roots down in a sense, you know?
Yeah, that's really good advice. Yeah. Thank you so much, Kay.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. And that's a wrap on today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. Please share, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating if you gained anything at all from today's podcast. And we look forward to having you back next time.